If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, the Gospel of Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we'll begin reading at verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when he saw them, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And the one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes with his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless," literally unbelieving, "generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear or put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground. This is the boy fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so Jesus asked the Father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he, the Father, said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him down, or both into the fire and into the water. This spirit has thrown the boy into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," he says to Jesus, "if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Put your Bibles down, clap your hands to God one more time. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. You may be seated. There are few truths that are more eloquently told in the scripture than God's desire, God's intent, and God's determination to help, to heal, to save, and to bless his people. Entire passages of scripture press upon us God's intent, irrespective of circumstance, in spite of any opposition that may come, to impart to us his goodness and mercy, his grace and his kindness, his help, and his healing. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul reminds us of the ordeal of Israel between the exodus of Egypt and the entering in of the promised land, and said, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Your King James would say, I would not have you to be ignorant. "I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Following their fantastic deliverance with the blood of the Passover lamb having been spread upon the lintels and the posts of the doors, they were supernaturally separated from Egypt and from the Egyptians when they were baptized in the sea. Manna fell from heaven, enough for all of them and a double portion for the Sabbath. They never had to want for water, for they drank, Paul said, of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Whenever and wherever they wanted water, they had only to assemble the priests and the lawgivers to tap the sand with their staff, and the Levites would sing, "Spring up, O well, spring up," and the water was there. So in the wake of such wonderful deliverance, and in the midst of such miraculous manifestation, you have to be surprised by verse 5 that says, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered." The King James says they were overthrown in the wilderness. Amen. And the apostle says that these things are our example. Notwithstanding their dramatic deliverance, notwithstanding the exciting exodus out of Egypt, in spite of God's miraculous provision for them in that desert, many of them were overthrown, scattered in that wilderness. They managed to come out of Egypt, but they failed, many of them, to go into the promise to which God had called them. Covered by the blood, spared from the sword, under God's cloud, through the sea on dry ground, but they died in the wilderness because they were overthrown. They were scattered in that wilderness. And just a cursory glimpse of Hebrews chapter 3 tells us that they were not overthrown by the elements in that wilderness. They were not overthrown by their enemies. But after their divine deliverance, after that miraculous escape from 400 years of bondage, they perished, many of them, before reaching Canaan because of a heart of unbelief. Overthrown, scattered in that wilderness, not by enemy, not by elements, but because they could not stretch their hearts and they could not stretch their hands and they could not stretch their heads wide enough to believe that what God had already done, He would do again. And somebody said, amen. And so the Bible says they staggered. Everybody say staggered. They staggered at the promises of God and laments to us that they could not enter because of their unbelief. And we are warned to take heed unless there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. And somebody shout amen. Unbelief is more than just a momentary lack of faith. It is more than singing about God's ability to help and to heal and to set free while lacking the faith to see Him do it for you or me. We may search our heart and soul for sins of all sorts, but it may never occur to us to search and see if we may have hidden in us a heart of unbelief. A heart of unbelief doesn't manifest itself in what we may describe as terrible thoughts or lustful thoughts or wicked thoughts. It's more like complacency. It's nearly unnoticeable. It's nearly undetectable. It is camouflaged by statements like, God can do anything, when in reality it thinks just not with me and just not here. Amen. And so it would do us well this morning to search our hearts and see if we really believe that God can, if we really believe that God will heal our bodies in this place on this Sunday morning, that He will indeed work in your situation, regardless of what it is. Amen. And manifest a miracle in your circumstance. I pray this morning that after having been previously delivered from sin and circumstance, and after having been previously experienced God's power to protect and provide, that we be not overthrown, amen, in this wilderness by our inability to believe God now for what we desperately need. And somebody said amen. I pray that God would let somebody in this place today to whom the precious promises seem even too big and too broad to embrace. I pray that God will let us wake up to the reality, amen, that there is nothing too hard for God and that the promises of God are there for the asking. If we ask, He will answer. If we knock, He will open. If we seek, He will show it. If we believe, He'll do it. Amen. I pray that if a heart of unbelief has metastasized within us, that we would repent of it this morning and get back to a saving faith. Amen. And that what God has done before, He'll do again. And that what God has done for others, He'll do for you and me. And that what God has promised in His Word, He will perform it in this place. I I hope we understand this morning that it is His desire to heal your body. It is His desire to heal your mind. It is His desire to heal your heart and soul. It is His desire to set your mind free from oppression. It is His desire to set your soul free from sin. It is His desire to work in your situation. It is His desire to restore your relationships. It is His desire to bless your family. It is His desire to bless your finances. But let us not be overthrown by a heart of unbelief. Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then writing to the Christians at Rome concerning that faith of Abraham, Paul says, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. It was one thing for Abraham to come out of his home country and trust God for a new and better place, walking with God step by faithful step, but it was something else altogether to believe that his 100-year-old body and Sarah's barren womb would produce a baby for the birth of nations. But he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he is able also to perform. And so I rise today to say, let us, let you and me, let us be fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able also to perform. Every work of his Spirit, every miracle of his mighty hand recorded in his word is a witness to what he has promised. He is able to perform. Let us not stagger at the promises of God as though they are too big to believe and too big to embrace. And let us not be overthrown by our inability to believe. Oh, hallelujah. A careful reading of Numbers chapter 32 reveals what can happen when we are content to live outside the promises of God. After 4 centuries of slavery and struggle and 4 decades of wandering in the wilderness, the conquest of Canaan was about to begin. Israel was on the border of the land of promise. They were spread out across that land that would one day be called Gilead, east of Jordan. They were trying to cross the last frontier and enter into their blessing, when suddenly there was this peculiar petition that was made to Moses. When after generations of walking and waiting and wandering, 2.5 of those 12 tribes of Israel, Reuben, Gad, and a half tribe of Manasseh, approached Moses and said, we have cattle and we have families, and this land here is good for both. So let us build pens for our herds and houses for our families, and let us stay at the edge, but not enter into the promise of God. Rather than risking the crossing, we're content to just end our journey right here. Moses couldn't believe what he was hearing. And he reminded them of how their fathers had fallen in the wilderness because of their unbelief and their inability to embrace God's promise. Nevertheless, their minds were made up. And the 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, chose to live outside and not enter into one of God's primary promises to His people. They were happy to see everyone else enter the land of promise, but they were content to stay just outside of it themselves. Some people are happy to see others receive blessings of God. Some people are happy to see God heal others and work in their lives and bless them, only to be content to stay where they are and to live with less than what God has for them. And I wish that I could tell you that the story ends there for those 2.5 tribes. But if you want to know the final fallout of their failure to possess their promise, you must fast forward 1,500 years into the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ and watch Him as He lands on the shore of Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5 and in Luke chapter 8. And when He steps onto that land, He's standing on that same soil that was so enticing to the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. That land that was so enchanting, that land that seemed so perfect and hospitable for herds and for families. But when He got there, Jesus found neither herds nor families, but He found Satan and He found swine, just a demoniac who was bound, untamable, crying out and cutting himself. And notably nearby, a herd of swine who were loathsome and unclean to the Hebrew people, because that place that once seemed safe, that place that once seemed enchanting to the staggering, unbelieving hearts of 2.5 tribes of Israel, that place now had nothing but swine and Satan. It may not be noticeable immediately, but eventually there is a price to pay for the heart of unbelief. Amen. There is a price to pay for living just outside the blessings and the promises of God. I'm afraid that our rich nation status and our culture of entitlement has created in many of us a heart of unbelief. But the fact is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His word is unchanging. His word is forever settled. Amen. So if He desired to bless and help and heal in the past, He certainly desires to bless and help and heal in the present. Oh, hallelujah. And so I've come this morning to say that miracles are still in the making. Healing is still to be had. Blessings are still in the heart of God for His people. And He still says today, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." There is no question about God's intent toward us. He said, "Fear not, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom that the book of Romans calls righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said it's God's delight, it's God's good pleasure to give us all of that. Amen. We need to understand that God wants to heal this morning. We need to understand that God wants to bless this morning. We need to understand that God wants to work in your situation. God wants to work in that circumstance that you came in here with this morning. And we need to grab hold of the fact that it's His good pleasure, it's His desire, it's His intent to work on our behalf. And He's not asking you to beg, He's asking you to believe. Amen. He's asking you to cast down that heart of unbelief. Somebody shout yes. Job didn't understand it either. He said, "What is man that thou shouldest magnify him?
and that thou should set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning. And David said in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Amen. Irrespective of circumstance. Oh, hallelujah. We must come to the understanding that God has the ability and God has the desire to heal and to help and to work on our behalf. We don't have to wonder this morning about God's mood or about God's might. The Apostle James tells us that with him there is no variation, there is no shadow of turning, and every good thing, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from our Father. Oh, hallelujah. That old prophet for hire, Balaam, told that wicked king Balak, when Balak hired him to curse God's people, he opened his mouth, but this is what came out. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Our adversary, the devil, would have us believe that God has to be coerced, that he has to be convinced to help us and to heal us. He would like to sow seeds of doubt and distrust in us. He would like to sow in us a heart of unbelief. He would like to make us think that we have to beg God to get God to do something. Amen. He'll do anything to deceive us into denying ourselves the blessings and the healing that God has for us. He'll do anything to try to convince us that for some reason God is not going to work on our behalf, that God might work for a more perfect person, or that he might heal and help somebody more worthy of it. But God is bigger than that, and God is better than that, and he's greater than our imperfections. And so I declare to you this morning, unequivocally, that there is no uncertainty with our Savior. His love is an everlasting love. His mercy endures forever. His grace is sufficient. His goodness reaches to the least of us, and his healing blood flows to the lowest of us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Coming to a close, but what God can do has already been determined. Amen. Because you cannot find a circumstance or a situation in this world that he hasn't already done something to or for in this Bible. Oh, hallelujah. So what he can do has already been determined. You don't have a problem. You don't have a sickness. You don't have a disease greater than creation. Right? You don't have a circumstance or an issue greater than anything that you can find in this Bible. And anything you find in this Bible, God has already taken care of it. Oh, hallelujah. And so if I need to know, can he heal me? All I got to do is go to where, oh yeah, there she is, that woman with an issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she was. If I wonder today, can he heal me? Can he touch my body? All I got to do is go and find that one whose eyes were blind, whose ears were deaf, and see that God touched and lifted him up and opened those eyes and ears. Oh, hallelujah. If I wonder how am I going to ever get through this sea of mess that's before me, all I got to do is go to Exodus and see God opens the sea. He parts the Red Sea. He parts the River Jordan. He can do it. And if he's done it once, he'll do it again. And so I've come this morning to tell you, as we stand in Jesus' name, I've come to tell you that what He wants to do has already been decided. He is still Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Amen. If you need God to provide, He's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. If you need God to heal, He's Jehovah Rapha, your healer. If you need victory, He's Jehovah Nissi, your victory. If you need peace, He's Jehovah Shalom, your peace. If you need Him to recreate and make a new person out of you, He is Jehovah Hissanu, your maker. Oh, hallelujah. If you need Him to be present in your situation, He is Jehovah Shema, your ever-present one. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout, He'll do it. Oh, hallelujah, He's able. He's able. As I say often, God is not only great, but He's good. And for that, we ought to be thankful. Because if in fact God was not good, if His intent toward us was in doubt, if His intent toward us was undecided, if it were still open for debate, what sorrow of soul we would have. But His goodness is not up for debate. Amen. He is good. He is good. He is good. If we would only cast down all unbelief from our heart and trust Him. Trust Him. There are miracles in this place because God is in this place. There are mighty works in this place because God is in this place. He's the mighty worker of miracles. Amen? There is healing in this place because the healer is in this place. There's salvation in this house because the healer is in this house. There's deliverance in this house because the deliverer is in this house. Right? Oh, hallelujah. There's help in this place for you because the helper is in this place for you. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. And so whatever I need, whatever you need, the only one in this universe that can do it loves you. His intent toward you is not in doubt. His intent toward you is not undecided. Amen? So if you need healing in your body, I want you to come. I want you to come believing. I want us all, in fact, to come and let's cast down that heart of unbelief. Let's get it out of us. Let's just get it out of us. Let's get rid of that heart of unbelief. And if you need healing, I believe God's going to heal you. If you need if you've got a situation that you need a miracle in, I believe God's going to give you a miracle. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. If you need deliverance, He's going to do it. Whatever help you need, whatever healing you need, whatever work you need in your situation, God can and God will. He's able. He's able, right? Let's cast out that heart of unbelief and let's trust Him. And let's decide once and for all, I will not live outside the promises of God, but I will enter in. In Jesus' name.